I'm white as snow.
I'm white as snow.
In Jesus' blood.
In Jesus' blood.
My sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
It reaches me.
It reaches me.
Oh, wondrous peace.
Oh, wondrous peace.
And love of God.
And love of God.
The deep and sound.
The deep and sound. It shoreless sea. If you will plunge into this stream, its virtue now will make you clean, his grace appropriate, and know it washes whiter than the snow.
I'm white as snow.
I'm white as snow.
In Jesus' blood.
In Jesus' blood.
My sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
It reaches me.
It reaches me.
Oh, wondrous peace.
Oh, wondrous peace.
And love of God.
And love of God.
The deep and sound.
The deep and sound. It shoreless sea.
Good morning, friends. I am glad to be coming your way once again by means of radio with a short gospel message. For your consideration, I have chosen this 12th verse of the 14th chapter of Matthew. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Here, Jesus had just spoken about some of the things preceding the destruction of Jerusalem. He spoke about false prophets and how they would deceive many. Adam Clark, in writing of this verse, the love of many shall wax cold, had this to say: by reason of these trials and persecutions from without, and those apostasies and false prophets from within, the love of many to Christ and his doctrine and to one another shall grow cold. Some openly deserting the faith, others corrupting it, and others growing indifferent about it. Even at this early period, there seems to have been a very considerable defection in several Christian churches. End of quote. Now, if there was a falling away even then, because iniquity abounded, what do you think of the conditions existing in the world today? Have the temptations lessened? Is there a decrease in iniquity? Or could you still say that sin is abounding? Remember, these people lost their love for the truth and for one another. Then, in connection with that thought, listen to this scripture from 1 Timothy 6 and beginning with verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let me refer you once again to Adam Clark. He writes, "It is in consequence of the temptation of the devil that they have determined to be rich. This temptation once received, others quickly succeed, and when they have swallowed down the temptation to the thing, then they drink in 1,000 temptations to the means, and all these lead them into an unforeseen and concealed trap." End of quote. Then, in commenting on many foolish and hurtful lies, Adam Clark goes on to say, "The whole conduct of such a person is a tissue of folly, scraping, gathering, and heaping up riches, and scarcely affording to take the necessaries of life out of them for himself. These lusts or desires are not only foolish, but they are hurtful. The mind is debased and narrowed by them. Benevolent and generous feelings become extinct. Charity perishes, and selfishness, the last and lowest principle in mental degradation, absorbs the soul. For these foolish and hurtful lusts drown men in destruction and perdition. The soul is destroyed by them here, and brought threw them into a state of perdition hereafter. The apostle considers these persons like mariners in a storm. By the concurrence of winds, waves, and tide, they're violently driven among the rocks. The vessel is dashed to pieces, and in a moment, they are all engulfed in the great deep. Such is the lot and unavoidable catastrophe of them that will be rich, even though they should strive to accomplish their desires by means the most rigidly honest. End of quote. Dear ones, the message which I am trying to get across to you is this. If your love grows cold for God, it is quite likely that you will have a love for the things of the world. I want you to listen to this warning given in 1 John 2 and beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that plain? Don't you see what it means to be a real child of God? Think of the pleasure and amusement centers in the cities of today. Many parents who choose a large city as a home for their children, thinking to give them greater advantages, meet with disappointments and too late repent of their terrible mistake. The cities of today are fast becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah. The youth are swept away by the popular current. Those who learn to love amusement for its own sake open the door to a flood of temptations. They give themselves up to social gaiety and thoughtless mirth. They're led on from one form of dissipation to another until they lose both the desire and the capacity for a life of usefulness to the Lord. Their religious teachings are often cast aside and their spiritual life is darkened. Too often, in time of danger, they fall under temptation and are led away from God. The end of their pleasure-loving life is ruined for this world and for the world to come. Cares, riches, pleasure are all used by Satan in playing the game of life for the human soul. Too often, those who possess worldly treasure forget that it is God who gives them power to get wealth. Do you remember what King Nebuchadnezzar said when he walked in the palace of the great kingdom of Babylon? I quote from Daniel 4:30. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Don't you know he thought how great a king he was and how great was his kingdom? He became lifted up with pride. But the scriptures go on to tell us that even while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." King Nebuchadnezzar was driven from his throne, and he ate grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But I will tell you one thing it did for him. He realized that God Almighty ruled on his throne. Well, later, after God had taught him these lessons, he was given his kingdom back again. Listen to this poem. "What I would ask for thee, if the treasures of ocean were laid at my feet, and its depth were all robbed of its coral and pearl, and the diamonds were brought from the mountain's retreat, and with them were placed all the wealth of the world, not silver, nor gold, nor the spoils of the sea, nor the garlands of fame that the world can bestow, but a purified heart that from sin is made free, I would ask for thee, friend, on thy journey below. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, give us the spirit of understanding to realize the difference between the riches of this world and the riches of godliness and contentment which can come from thee only. Bless each listener of the broadcast and encourage their hearts to seek the way of truth and walk in it. And thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, friends, for taking time to listen to the Mission Trail broadcast. We sincerely hope that your life has been made better and richer and fuller because of God's presence. If we may be a further help to you, be sure to let us know. Just address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And remember that godliness with contentment is worth more than all the things of the world put together.
I love to tell the story, what Jesus says to me. My heart is filled with glory, since through His grace I'm free. I'm drinking at the fountain, my cup of joy o'erflows. I live upon the mountain, my heart no trouble knows. My life is full of sweetness, my heart is full of rest. I feel a blessed completeness while leaning on His breast. I'm drinking at the fountain, my cup of joy o'erflows. I live upon the mountain, my heart no trouble knows. Some say there must be shadows, each one dark days must see. But since I found the Savior, my constant victory. I'm drinking at the fountain, my cup of joy o'erflows. I live upon the mountain, my heart no trouble knows.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.